You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You're losing at home Tuesday night to the Los Angeles Clippers. The Pacers are back in action Wednesday against the Houston Rockets. They hoped to turn a pretty bad defeat into a nice win the next night and keep themselves alive in that race for the 5-6 seed in the East. And it's a good thing they're playing the abysmal Rockets. Pacers got off to a hot start, led this game by nearly 20 points in the first half. The Rockets, of course, clawed their way back, because what team doesn't claw their way back against this Pacers team? But ultimately, the Pacers prevailed. Caris LeVert led the team with 27 points. Michael Brogdon had 23 and a near triple-double of 23-14-9. Sabonis also had a near triple-double, 22 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Off the bench, Jeremy Lamb had maybe his best game of the season, scoring 18 points. And for the Rockets, their leading scorer was John Wall with 31, as the Pacers beat the Houston Rockets 132-124. Welcome in to Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as Alvin co-hosts this wonderful podcast. And on today's show, I'll break down the Pacers' win over the Rockets, do a check-in on Justin Holiday, who has been struggling as of late, but I want to start with a discussion about the Pacers' high-flying offense, question mark, and abysmal defense, also question mark, exclamation point. So over the last, we'll take the last seven games Pacers have played, they've scored 139 against San Antonio, then lost the Bulls, 141 against Minnesota, 132 against Memphis, and 132 against Houston. So in four of the last seven, they scored over 130 points. And the offense has been a lot better. Combination of that is Caris, Brogdon, Sabonis seem to all be kind of hitting their stride at once. I talked about that in yesterday's podcast. But the defense is not there for this team right now. And that's what I find the most interesting. Part of that has to be Turner's absence. He's now going on, I think, almost 2 weeks off for this team. So it's not like surprising the defense struggle when he's not playing. And really, their offense has been really good, but only against bad teams, right? I mean, they scored 115 against the Clippers, which is a lot of points, but they gave up 126. And Orlando, who's not even that bad of a team, who's not even that good of a team, they only scored 111 on, and obviously against Chicago, they scored less than 100. But that was also a weird game. A couple guys were hurt. I think Sabonis got hurt during that game or whatnot. But clearly, without Turner, they are lost in the defensive end, and that's not surprising. Turner's a borderline defensive player of the year candidate. He is the rock that keeps their defense rolling, but it's really surprising how just bad their perimeter defense is at times. Their ability, I think the best way to explain this is how many times they get faked into a double team because the guy gets beat, and that just like screws everything up, right? So, I mean, that was Paul George all last game. It's John Wall kind of tonight a little bit. You watched him. He was able to really draw in guys and kick it out pretty much a ton. I mean, he had 9 assists. I mean, they appear to have a tendency to fall for the guy with the ball a ton, especially if he's somewhat athletic and dynamic. And then it creates this, like, compounding effect where they get, you know, they have a ton of threes then, or a ton of, like, easy threes. Like, what, you know, they should be giving them a contested three and a wide open three, and they go way too many wide open threes, it feels like, compared to like what they should be doing. Right, the defensive rating is still, I mean, on B-Ball Raffle, I thought out tonight's game is 13th in the league, but I think they were up, like, I think they have a 112 right now. I want to say they were somewhere in the 110 about 2 or 3 weeks ago when I looked this last. It just keeps going up, the defensive rating at this point. They just, without Turner, they just have absolutely no way to stop anybody. I mean, they just don't have any, like, reliable defensive play, right? I mean, Brogdon's their best, probably, on-ball defender. Justin Holiday's not bad, but he's got limitations. And then, but without Turner back there to serve as somebody they can run guys into, they're just kind of screwed. But on the other hand, I mean, what you're seeing is a really, like, crazy good offensive output, right? I mean, that's what Sabonis as a center does when he's surrounded by shooters, essentially, is he helps this team score a ton of points because he can spread the floor. He is one of the more dynamic centers. I mean, he is Jokic light in some ways, right? I mean, he's able to get near triple-doubles. I mean, he's been at near triple-double in like 3 of the last 4 games. I mean, let me pull up his game logs real fast. But, right, so against Clippers, he had 22-10, I believe. Let's see. Hold on, quick. Against Clippers, he had 22. He had 22-13, but against Memphis, 18-15-9, near triple double there. If you go to the San, he didn't play the San Antonio game, but last Pacers large output was against Washington. He scored 124. He had 35-11-6. When he's the center of the offense, the offense is good. I mean, the problem is the defense so bad that it's not worth it? I think that's the conundrum that the Pacers that will be facing as a Pacer fan. You'll be facing for a while because Turner is so good defensively, but not nearly there offensively. That's like he is. I don't know if it comes out as even or whatnot. And it's most like the opposite. He's so good offensively, but defensively, he's so bad because he doesn't really have the size. He's really a power forward size, but should be playing center. And it's like a double-sided coin, right? I mean, I almost feel like I could flip a coin, and I'd be, you know, that would be a better like barometer or decision maker than me just trying to pick one of the two or trying to find which one is better because they both add so much on each side. But it's interesting to see what an unleashed Pacers offense would kind of look like right now. And it's fun. I mean, it certainly makes for fun basketball. When they play bad teams, it's going to work, I think, because they're bad teams. But I don't know how you get competitive against any of the good teams with the way they're playing defense without Turner right now. I mean, it's just pretty abysmal. But offense, big plus right now, and I've liked it so far. Been fun to watch, right? I mean, at least if this team's going to lose, they're going to lose in exciting fashion. Like, I think even the Clippers game, they scored 115. I thought they were in the game most of the way, probably the last 8 minutes, give or take. But it was a fun game for a little while. National TV, they were playing well. You know, Bjorkman was wearing the slick suit, so he was just it was just kind of a fun little broadcast, I guess I would call it. But at least they're exciting right now. I mean, I really can't stand to watch slogfests of low scoring. You know, like the Heat game from, 2 weeks ago now? 3 weeks ago? That was a painful game to watch. At least when they're scoring, it's like kind of fun. And you're seeing Karras and Brogdon and Sabonis really kind of come in drones as a big three. And it'll be nice to see when Warren gets back next year and how they all fit together offensively. Should be able to score a lot of points. But again, if can't get stops, can't win games. Anyways, so. All right, let's do this. Let's take one quick break, and then I will talk about tonight's game against the Rockets and what I liked from it. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. They have everything you can get for your car on that website, right? So you can look for like carpets, for batteries, for motor oil, anything you want. They have it on RockAuto.com. You quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specification, and price that you prefer. The best of all, price at RockAuto.com reliably low and always the same professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On. How do you hear Rats Box? They know that we sent you a main selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. The O-shaper set came to town. That's how I would describe this Pacers win against the Rockets, probably. I don't know. I thought it was cool, at least, to see a guy who has been given kind of a limited chance with the Pacers actually play some minutes. Tony had a debate. I think it was probably she's not going to play. Just going to be there to kind of see him in practice. But I was like, why not? You signed him to a 10-day and might as well see what he can do. I mean, you know, he is a Syracuse grad, so, you know, always got a soft spot for guys like that. Maybe he graduated, but played at Syracuse for a few years. Actually, I don't know whether he graduated or not, but a former Syracuse player. And, you know, he played well tonight, 4 or 5, 10 points. Not, you know, what you can expect from a guy who is a fringe NBA player was pretty decent. I mean, he was, they just have, you know, Lamb had a really good night, so it kind of overshadows him. But I thought O'Shaver set was fun to watch at least a little bit. With the way the young guys play so up and down, I mean, I thought, you know, Sumner was okay tonight. Holiday was Holiday the way he's been. Goga was Goga the way also he's kind of been. It was fun to see a young guy kind of really have an offensive spurt for once. Obviously, the best thing tonight was the Pacers' 3-point shooting. finally unleashed after they were 9 of 40 last night. Tonight they go 15 of 36. It's like they were just itching to shoot that ball. And Houston's always a good team. They're terrible defense. Houston's one of the worst teams in the league. So it certainly helps this team to play Houston or catch Houston on a night like tonight because they needed it. You know, you usually don't win second night of back-to-back, but when you play the Rockets, who I think are, yeah, they're 22nd in defensive rating. So that will help you get a win on a back-to-back when you play one of the NBA's worst teams and who's tanking all, essentially. Rebounding-wise, where the Pacers were again, on the offense, they lost a little bit, but overall, were able to match rebound for rebound. The Rockets ended up taking 10 more shots, but actually didn't make any more shots than the Pacers, so that helps. I mean, the Rockets just, like I said, are not very good. So that sort of helps. And when it was just like an offense and offense game. I mean, the Pacers had an awesome first half, and I thought at one point, oh, maybe I can kind of half watch second half because they're going to blow them out and get some young guys look. Maybe we'll see some more O'Shea. Just kind of enjoyed that. And of course, they clawed their way back in. What was really interesting is that the starters were basically all negatives, right? So Bones was a -5, Jasoni -3, Sumner -3, Karras -3. Bard was the only starter with a positive plus minus, which is kind of interesting. I mean, the Pacers bench really carried them on the game tonight. And obviously when Jeremy Lamb goes 7 of 10 for 18 points, that's what it does. Good to see him finally break through a little bit. Since we've been very critical of him, and he hasn't been that good this year, and he was been pretty bad the past, I don't know, most of the season, as he basically lost his hot streak. McConnell continues to be McConnell, 12 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, didn't miss a shot. He is Mr. Reliable, and I wonder if somehow he ends up with a starting point guard job next year, the way he's been playing. But did have McDermott, who hurt his ankle last night. The latest update I saw from Scott Agnes was he was not in a boot. He did come out, kind of like give it a test a little bit, or he was in the weight room. McDermott was before the game, so the chance he does play this road trip. The Pacers, you know, are on a 3-game road stand. They play Houston, Utah, and Atlanta on the road through tonight and Sunday. So we'll see what happens with McDermott, where he's at. They will need him a bunch of, you know, I guess Atlanta by Sunday. I mean, they'll need him with Utah too, but I don't think it wouldn't matter. But hopefully he can maybe play by the Atlanta game if it's not too serious. I mean, the best thing from this game by far is the fact that Sabonis, Barton, and LeVert combined for 72 points. 72 points, 29 rebounds, and 17 assists. Pretty good big three right there. I mean, I know this was a bad team, so you got to take it with a grain of salt, but they're really starting to kind of click offensively with each other. I mean, Karras at 50%. Brogdon had one of those nights where he kind of goes below 50. He's, you know, every three or four nights, every third or fourth game, he's always has a down game, which is kind of the way it is. But Sabonis again, 10 of 18 for 22. Like I said in the first segment, they figured out offensively. It's just they can't figure out the defense, and they still can't figure out these second halves. I mean, they blew that 20-point lead, got like within like I think 8 at one point, maybe even a little less, and that's just ugh. Oh wait, the game ended in 8, so I guess, but I think it didn't get below like 8 or maybe 6, got to 6 at one point, but the second halves are heart pounding and stressful because they should be able to win the game. Like they should, you know, they should beat the Rockets by 20 points, and I shouldn't have to watch the fourth quarter with as much intensity as I had to watch it tonight because they always let teams back into it. They always play down to their competition in some ways, but good win overall. Maybe they can steal one against Utah. It's a weird afternoon game, but you know, if they can steal that one in Utah, one against Atlanta, they'll be right back in that hunt of that playoff race. I believe they sit, I want to say, they currently sit, if it loads fast enough, 3.5 back of Atlanta and 2.5 back of Boston for the 5 and the 4 respectively. So, Still an outside chance and get in the top 5, which is the goal. So we'll see what happens, but we'll see. Let's take one more break, our final break, and then I want to put Justin Holiday, who is struggling of late, and why I think he's being miscast, and honestly can't wait till he can go back to his bench role. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you also by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place all your sports action. Football and college basketball might be over, but the NBA, NHL, and MLB are in full swing, and there's a perfect time to betting on those kind of games. BetOnline.ag has you covered for those and even awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on anything you can imagine. BetOnline.ag has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website today or use a mobile device and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That with the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sports book experts. So Justin Holiday, since the All-Star break, is shooting just 34% from the field and 33% from three. Not great stats. It's dragged down his numbers because if you look at Holiday, so he didn't get inserted in the starting lineup till game 10. So his first nine games, he was shooting 53-42 split. So that's 53% from the field and 42% from three on 4.2 attempts. After 11.2 points a game, he becomes a starter, obviously, when Vic is traded and there's no Karis. Makes sense. Right, and it was around this time, I guess he started a little bit because Warren is officially ruled out at this point because he actually does become a starter before they trade Vic. Slightly before. It must have been when Warren was ruled out. He slots in. And he does okay to start, right? So if we take kind of his, he becomes a starter officially on January 11th. We take that through the end of February. Pretty good splits. I mean, 44 from the field and 42 from three. So a lower field goal percentage, but taking, you know, almost two-thirds of a shot from three and shooting a great rate. And then I don't know if it becomes here's when Karis kind of gets reinserted. So Karis gets reinserted somewhere around here. Karis's first game was not the Phoenix game, right? Was it the Phoenix game he returned in? Yeah, it was. I guess his first game was against Phoenix. He was in that game. But since the Phoenix game, that's where you have Justin Holiday's shooting percentage going in the crapper. Right now he's, 35% from three since that game. I mean, that's basically my beginning stat was since the All-Star was one extra game. So he has not been good since Karis returned. I think part of that might be he's not getting as many good passes because, Brogdon and Karis have some kind of thing going, and so they're looking for Karis more than looking for him, and he's getting more, have to take more of those kind of panic shots versus getting a good clean look run for him. He still is miscast in this role. I mean, him having to be a starter, it's just painful because he isn't a starter, and he's a perfect 25-minute game off the bench guy who can get hot and have the occasional 20-point game, but always be consistent where he has 10 points and shoots 40% and plays solid defense and is a versatile player. You can close him at times if you need to, which he did last year. He was kind of perfectly fit last year's role. This year he's had to step up into a different role. And it's not like he hasn't stepped up to it, right? He's done his best. I mean, I don't think anybody's saying, you expect Holiday to be a starting level player, but it's just kind of frustrating to watch because I just feel like he's being miscast in a role right now where he has to sort of play as the TJ Warren replacement. He just isn't on that level and he'd be so much better on the bench. And I think it'd help boost his brother too. I think they had such good chemistry together. They had a really good net rating last year when they were court together. I just wish he could get more minutes with his brother at times. But I'd be more concerned if I thought this was a long-term thing, but obviously him having to play with Karis is a short-term thing because a bunch of you go to the bench and they'll probably run the same bench unit when they get everything back next season. So it isn't a long-term thing. I mean, I think Holiday has got to still be in this team's long-term plans for sure. I don't know why he wouldn't be. He's a cheap player and still really good. I mean even with his, the better part of a 15-game slump, he's still shooting almost 40% from three. He's become a really, really good shooter for this Pacer team. A really, really good and reliable shooter. I mean, compared to his last year's stats, he's really not that much worse in terms of percentage. He's taking a little more shots, so that's part of it. But I just think he's not getting the same looks. He really is. He's being forced into end of shot clock threes where he's not getting plays run for him. Where, on the bench, they ran plays for him. They would run off-ball screens where they would get set up and get a pass to Sabonis or McConnell, where now he's kind of like, oh, crap, Justin, we can't figure out the shot here's the ball, shoot a quick three. And then those are contested and not, perfectly clean looks, and he's getting a little screwed by it. So But even though he's playing worse as of late, I still like Justin Holiday. I think he'll ultimately be valuable to the Pacers team next year, but it's unfortunate to see what's happening. Hopefully he can kind of right the ship, and maybe the three-point percentage just will come back around, but the team does need to sort of figure out how to get him better looks, because he is a really good three-point shooter. That's the thing. He's just like a very good spot-up three-point shooter, and if they can get him like run some plays for him and really try to set him up, it would be better than sort of this role where he's like the fifth option, even behind Sunderland on offense. Maybe more like the fourth option, but it's like they're not running the same amount of plays for him. They're kind of just like, it's kind of a consistently like a over and over the same kind of thing that's not working right now, in my opinion. And the stats bear it out as well. So that's my thoughts on Justin Holiday. My thoughts on this Pacer game. We are almost done with this season. I mean, we're getting there. I think we have about a month left in the season. Visually, they're at least locked into a play-in game. Maybe they'll even push their way up in the standings to a actual playoff round. We will see if they're able to, and we will have you covered here for all of that on Locked On Pacers Podcast. And then if not, we'll pivot to the draft if the team ends up in the lottery. So either way, we'll have you covered on Locked On Pacers. Tomorrow, Tony will have a preview of the Jazz game. And then we'll be back again on Monday with our weekly show discussing all things Pacers from the last week. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers, me at FreeMadam5. That is all for today's Locked On Pacers Podcast. I'll see you guys again tomorrow.